Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Friday and welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. And it is one of the great days that we have here on G's Power Hour because it is Friday in the Garden, the third Friday of the month, and we are happy to welcome back Robert Bowden, Executive Director of Terry P. Lew Gardens here in Central Florida. Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Good morning. Well, I am in an air-conditioned office with fresh squeezed orange juice, so my feet are up on the table, so Life is good.
So now, are you taking a break, or is it that you're having other people kind of manage the gardens, or is it one of those things where, because it's getting into the heat of the day, that you kind of just, because I try to get after, like, my husband who likes to go out in the middle of the day and mow the lawn, and I keep saying, in Florida, you really need to either get up really early, or you're going to have to go later, like, and you kind of almost don't want to go later because if you go around dusk, there's the mosquitoes in some cases. But
yeah.
When is the best time to get out there?
Get out early in the morning. So we usually schedule most of the heavy stuff between sunup and noon. Then we have lunch, and then we find jobs in the shade. And then you have dinner and relax a little bit, and then you can go back outside and cut the grass. Or my wife and I usually take some time after dinner, and we just walk through the garden with a cup of coffee and talk about what we're going to do on the weekend. So, yeah, in Florida, Central Florida, July through October, you really need to get as much work done early in the morning as you can, and then take it easy in the afternoon. You're going to hurt yourself.
Okay. So I'm hearing you say that you mow the grass in the afternoon, early evening. And I had to, because I'm glad you mentioned that, because I had a question about that, because my understanding is that, and I do mow in the morning because it just seems to be just more convenient time-wise, but at the same time, I understand that you are supposed to wait till, I guess, your grass dries out because it kind of gets that dew or dampness on it. Is that correct?
Right. That's correct. Yeah, you definitely don't want to leave clumps of grass in your lawn, because that's just going to really accentuate and run the possibility of bringing some pathogens in there. So I know I just said it's the best time to do it is in the afternoon, when I just told you to relax. But oftentimes I'll mow the grass after dinner, like on a Thursday or a Friday, so I can leave the whole weekend for other jobs. So,
right.
And by that time, if you do it on Thursday, I think about this way too much, you know. But
that's okay, because you help the rest of us out with that. So
yeah,
great.
I cut it on Thursday, and then the grass has a chance to grow back a little bit for Friday and Saturday, so it looks a little more natural, like I didn't just do it. And it just looks much better in front of the flowers and things like that. So I usually cut it on Thursday, and then it looks really nice Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
You must have
that
an early
sense.
Dinner because you keep saying after dinner. So
yeah, we eat dinner, you know, at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
And, you know, it's sundown is at 8:30. So
right.
Have 2 acres. I have 2 acres. I have a riding lawnmower, so I can cut it. But not everyone has that, or they have smaller properties. So you can get most of it done after dinner on Thursday or Friday. Because you just don't want to do it on Saturday and Sunday. I mean, there's a lot of other things you need to be doing that don't include cutting the grass. So I do that Thursday or Friday. Yep.
Yeah. Okay, good to know. Good to know.
I think about it too much, though, don't I?
No. Like I said, you help the rest of us out because now I've got to really change my perspective in terms of mowing the grass. So that's a good thing. You know, so.
I really need a life, don't I?
I think you have one. I think you're doing pretty good. Because one of the things you're going to do, you're going to tell us with
this
big
this
life
morning
that you
I
have.
Was, this morning I gave a tour to one of the ladies who works as a volunteer at one of the community centers here in the city of Orlando. And I was giving her and her husband a tour of the gardens, and we gave her some plants so she can plant them in the community garden there at the community center. And, you know, as I'm riding around, I stop and talk to guests, and it's not a bad life, you know? It's really not bad at all. And they actually pay me to do it, which is even more absurd, you know?
If all of us should be so lucky.
I know. I truly, truly have the best job in town. No question about it.
So with this wonderful job, what are you growing right now? What's the crop for, or crops for July?
Yeah. You know, I hear that, I'm going to put plastic over my garden in the summer because nothing will grow. I heard a guy who represented OUC last week saying, go ahead, solarize your garden because nothing grows in Orlando in the summer. And that's just blatantly not true. There are so many things that will grow, especially for those of us that live in the South. You know, when you grow black-eyed peas or okra or peanuts or eggplant, and these are all things we all love to eat, and this is the time to grow them. And they grow all by themselves. You don't need to be out there fussing and cultivating and fertilizing. You know what? They just take care of themselves. Just give me a little water, and I'm perfectly happy. So we've got okra and black-eyed peas. We've got peanuts growing. We even have cotton growing. You know, no one's ever seen a cotton plant up close. And everybody wears cotton clothes. Where does that come from? Well, here's where it comes from. It comes from these different plants. So we have some plants that produce a brown fiber cotton and some produce a green fiber cotton. And, of course, we have ones that produce the white as well. And we're growing eggplants. We're growing little tiny ones, you know, called Bambino, which is about the size of a golf ball. And we love those because those work really well on the grill. You know, we just grill them with some of those small sweet peppers, and gosh, they're so good. Or they work really well on a shish kebab. You know, you can put them on the grill with chicken and vegetables and things. So eggplant, and then there's black knight or any of the big black eggplants. Are, you know, I'm picking probably a half a dozen every week here at the gardens and sharing them with volunteers. So, you know, and dill, you can grow dill this time of year. You grow peanuts this time of year. There's just a lot of stuff. So don't think that there's nothing to grow because there's a lot of stuff to grow in the summertime. But if you don't like any of those things, then of course, yes, you want to dig a little ditch all around your garden, and then you put a piece of clear plastic over that, and right to the edges, and then you bury the edges with the soil that came out of the little ditch. So it's perfectly sealed. There isn't any air that's able to get out. And the UV rays bounce around under that plastic from the sun, and it sterilizes the soil. It forces the nematodes deeper into the ground. It kills all the weed seeds, bacteria, viruses, kills all that stuff. So when you pull it off in October, getting ready to plant your fall garden, it's weed-free and it's ready to go. So you can either plant lots of stuff right now or plant nothing and prepare for the fall. It depends on what you want to do.
So now, I was wondering, because you're talking about you're going to leave that on until October. Do you have to leave it on until October? And the reason I'm asking this is that I was thinking about maybe just taking half of the garden and covering it, and then planting
you can do that.
The stuff that you talked about with the other half. And then,
the real secret to making this solarization work is making sure that the plastic is completely sealed.
Okay.
I've been to community gardens where, you know, they'll put a piece of plastic over a raised bed, and they may put a sandbag here or there to keep it down. That's not going to work.
I see.
It's just like an oven. You have got to close the door. So the edges, everything has to be perfectly sealed so none of the air gets out. And those rays, that sunlight just bounces back and forth between the plastic and the dirt, and it gets really hot. It could easily get 130 degrees under there. And that's what you want. So you need to go through. You need to turn the soil over. Fertilize it if you can. Put some, you know, like a 10-10-10 fertilizer out there. And then go ahead and put the plastic on it. Make sure all of the edges are sealed tight. And then you just let it go all summer. And then in October you pull it off and you don't have to do anything else. You've already rototilled it. You've already fertilized it. So you pull the cover off. You fill in those little ditches, you know, with the shovel, and boom, plant your stuff and away you go. Super easy. Don't overthink this. It isn't that hard.
Okay.
Right?
All right. I like that. I like easy. I like not having to overthink it. It works. So, all right. So I guess I'll be getting out there.
Because it can be. I'm gonna tell you, it can be quite confusing, especially people who haven't grown plants in Florida before. Growing vegetables and flowers in Florida is unlike any other place on the planet. It's just, and especially in Orlando, because we can grow temperate things and we can grow subtropical things. So it gets even more confusing. So, you know, on the weekends, you know, when I go to the hardware store or to a home improvement store to get supplies for the projects I'm doing at home on the weekend, I see these people standing in front of all of these seed packets on the racks, and they're just they're like deer in a headlight. They just stare. they don't know what to buy, and what this is July. What should I be planting now? Well, in Ohio, we used to plant beans and tomatoes and no, you don't do that now. You don't do that now. I went to a home improvement store on Sunday, and I counted 12 different kinds of tomatoes for sale in the little peat pots out there in the sun.
Mm-hmm.
None of those varieties are going to grow this time of year.
Oh boy.
So why do they sell them? Because people will buy them because they don't know
people
any better.
Yeah.
You know, they'll go ahead and they'll plant them. And then when they die, they're going to hit themselves in the head and say, gosh, you know, I can't even grow a tomato. That's how bad it is. Well, no, it's just the wrong plant in the wrong place at the wrong time. Now, if you go to the store and you find a cherry tomato, like Super Sweet 100 or a yellow pear tomato, man, those you can plant those. And you'll have so many tomatoes that you can't give them away. My neighbors won't answer their front door anymore when they see me coming because they don't want any more eggplant. They don't want any more tomatoes. They're done, you know. So, yeah, now you can do it. But just because it's for sale doesn't mean it's the right time to plant it. Isn't that sad?
Yeah, it is. But, you know, that's why I have you on, so we can educate our listeners in terms of how this
there
is supposed
go.
To be done. That's right.
Yep.
So
you're right. You can solarize one half and then plant the other stuff on the other half. You can do that.
Okay. All right. That works.
Yeah.
That works. I'm going to work on that.
Yep.
But we're going to take a quick break because I have another question to ask you when we come back about this seasonal gardening and planting and stuff like that. So we are here with Robert Bowden, who is the executive director of Harry P. Lou Gardens here in Central Florida. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. If you have questions for Robert, the number is 516-387-1944. G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. We'll be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Hi, I'm Tim Garrison. You may know me as Timmy G. Yeah, I know. It's been 2 decades, but I want you to know I'm back in the Arglitex. And I've got a mix of music that can help you relax and chill out. It's smooth. It's relaxing. It's chill out jazz. The soulful mix of smooth jazz, soul, and smooth R&B. So join me every Wednesday night, 10 p.m. to midnight on K-Ham Radio.
Are you chillin'?
Good morning. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today here with Robert Bowden. It's Friday in the Garden today on G's Power Hour. And I wanted to ask you, Robert, about if you, like you talk about all of the extra stuff that you have when you garden certain times of year and you give it to neighbors and all that type of stuff. But what if you have kind of a large supply and know when to give it to? I guess I want to ask you, are there certain types of fruit and vegetables that can be preserved or saved or frozen and or sealed away? Do you have any tips for that? Do you do any of that?
I guess when I grew a lot of one thing and I had a bigger garden, I would can a lot. When my wife and I were younger and we had one job and, you know, 5 o'clock the day was over and we had a big garden. I had a garden that was 40 by 40 feet. And, you know, we grew a lot of cantaloupes and a lot of peas and a lot of everything. We did it a couple of different ways. One, we gathered the peas and we would blanch them in hot water, cool them off, and then we would put them in bags and get one of those vacuum sealers. And we would freeze like green beans and peas and things like that. And then when things aren't as plentiful like right now, you simply take one of those bags out and you put it in the microwave or you put it in a pot of boiling water and cook it. That's so you can freeze a lot of this stuff.
Okay.
We used to freeze cantaloupe.
Really?
I had cantaloupe this year that was amazing. So you plant that in April, and now you're harvesting it. This weekend, last weekend, we harvested about a half a dozen beautiful cantaloupes out of the garden. So you can freeze those too. You can, take the rind off and then cube the fruit into smaller pieces and then put them in plastic containers with a simple syrup that you make out of sugar and water. And you can actually freeze that. And then, January, February when, cantaloupe sure would taste good, you just take it out of the freezer. And it's like eating Italian ice. It's really good.
Wow.
The reason
I was asking you is that because, like you're saying, you're trying to plant tomatoes at the wrong time. So when you do plant the tomatoes and you want to maybe not necessarily have to change your diet based on the seasoning, the season, but, you're able to put some away some kind of way for that. Like, for example, you've talked about Lucas Nursery before, and they've got the Georgia peach truck that comes, I think, a couple of times. So I'm getting ready to get some of the Georgia peaches, but I know I'm going to have, there's only so much peach cobbler and stuff that I'm going to be able to make. And I know, I'll probably give away or something like that, or maybe split the cost with someone on it. But I was just, trying to figure out, okay, what can I do with these peaches? Because, this is one time, but I would like to, have peaches or something until the next time, or maybe make some peach jam or cobbler or something.
Yep. So online, there are places that you can go that tell you how to freeze fresh fruit, like blueberries or peaches, nectarines. You can freeze that. You can also what we call canning. You put those into glass jars with the metal top on it, and you can. What we do, we grow a lot of tomatoes in the fall, winter, spring. We grow far too many tomatoes than we'll use. So we make homemade ketchup.
And oh, wow.
Once you've made your own ketchup, you'll never touch the stuff at the store again. Or you make tomato sauce. Or you make salsa. And you put that into a jar. And then you put it in what we call a hot water bath. It's a big pot, and you submerge these things under the hot water. And then when you take them out, the tops will pop, which meant that they're perfectly sealed. And then you just put them on the shelf, just like you do with a can. And you can do all that yourself. It's super, super easy. You just have to make sure that you're very careful in following the directions so you don't contaminate the food that's inside with some kind of pathogen. So it's really important that you read the directions word by word to make sure you're doing it the right way. So that's pretty easy. Now, I also grow a lot of parsley and dill and thyme and oregano and you can freeze dry all of that, but you can dry that as fresh when you put it into the microwave.
Really?
So I'm growing a lot of parsley, and I can take the parsley and I can chop it up and I can put it in a microwave and I can dry it out and then I put it into jars or into Ziploc bags or something. Once they're completely dry, they're perfectly safe to use. So you don't have to worry about pathogens. So the one thing you don't want to do that way is chives. Because I've done that more than once. And you get this green glob in the microwave, and that's not what you want. But things like basil and thyme and marjoram, all that stuff, you can cause those leaves to dry out, and then you put them in a jar that you can seal and put them up on the shelf. It's just as good as fresh, because it is fresh. You've just taken the water out of it.
And I think I've seen someone on TV do that with lavender, if I'm not mistaken.
Sure can.
Because
yep.
I was thinking about, like, doing some bath salts and then trying to do that with the lavender, everything for,
yeah.
you know, soak in the tub or something like that.
Sure. Lavender is very calming, and we certainly need that now.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, lavender doesn't grow here in the summer. So you go to the store, garden center, home improvement store, and you buy lavender, but you want to wait until November to do that.
Okay.
Right. And then, well, maybe October. So you grow it all fall, winter, and then around April or so, it's going to start looking a little rough because it's starting to get heat and humidity comes back in, and it'll start to die from the inside out. So you're going to want to grow that, but don't plan on growing it in the summertime. It has nothing to do with your gardening skills whatsoever. I hear that a lot. Oh, gosh, you know, my basil's dying, or, you know, my lavender died, and I just don't I got a call yesterday from someone, and I get calls all the time. You know, I hand out my business card. There's a cell phone number on there. My email address is on there. So call me. You have a question. And this lady said, I need to know how to kill the bugs that are on my zucchini.
Mm.
And that's sort of a trick question. Yes, I can give you the name of a chemical to kill them.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is, the reason that the bugs are there is because they're under stress, because you don't grow zucchini this time of year. It's just too darn hot. So, yes, you can kill the caterpillars, but you shouldn't have to do that because you shouldn't be trying to grow zucchini this time of year anyway.
Okay.
So, yeah, so right plant, right place, right time is really important here in Florida. You just have to know what to plant at the right time. This is not the time to plant zucchini or pumpkins or squash or any of that stuff. You have to wait until October for that.
Yeah, I was going to say gourds are more winter vegetables and fruit, right? So that's why
you can grow loofah. You know, everybody thinks that loofah, that little sponge that you use in the bath, oh, that comes from the ocean. Nope. It's actually a squash.
Really?
And, yeah, it's about 4 inches, 5 inches in diameter. It's about 18 inches long. And it grows just like a squash on a vine all summer long. And so when they start to turn brown, you disconnect it from the vine and you let it go brown. And then you remove the skin, take the seeds out, and then you bleach it, and voila. You got a perfectly good loofah sponge. So that's another thing you can grow this time of year. Works really well.
I'm going to be listening to this show again this weekend, I'm sure, because you've got a lot to give.
Yeah. I am full of absolutely worthless information.
Oh, yeah, right. Listen. I do have a question, though, going back to the canning and preserving and freezing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm one of those people that's trying to get away from the chemicals and stuff like that. So I'm curious, do you have to use certain things in order to freeze or preserve some of these foods?
No. No, that's the wonderful thing about this is that and I feel very strongly about this, that I'm going to get on my soapbox, but, you know, I cherish my family. Mm-hmm. And when I feed them, I want to know what I'm feeding them. And the only way I know, if I'm 100% sure that the food they're eating is safe, is if I grow it myself.
Right.
Now,
right.
I know
true.
I can't grow everything, you know? And okay. people get really concerned about that because, oh, I can only grow so many tomatoes. And, you know, growing food at home is meant to be a supplement to
right.
what you need.
Yeah,
it's not meant
about
to,
that before.
Unless you have a farm, you know, a big farm, that's not going to happen. So don't
right.
beat yourself up over that. You're going to grow a little bit, but what you're growing is going to be very, very fresh, and it's going to be safe because you have grown it from seed to harvest, and now you're taking it one step further. You're going to can this. You're going to preserve it so you can eat it at a later time. It is so much better. Than,
uh-huh.
I mean, you just look at the ingredients on the side of a can of tomato sauce or,
yeah.
I mean, you can't get frozen cantaloupe.
Uh-huh.
So all you can do all of that yourself and know 100% that, number one, it's safe, and number two, there aren't any chemicals in it, and you grew it yourself. And canning it and putting it up doesn't take a lot of time. It doesn't cost a lot of money to make that happen. But when you reach into your freezer in February to get a little bit of peach cobbler from the peaches that you canned or you froze the summer before, you know what's in there.
Mm-hmm.
There aren't any preservatives in there. It's just
right.
peaches, sugar, a little tapioca, some cinnamon, and a pastry that you put it on. That's all there is. And so you make it, you freeze it, and then you eat it. It's 100% safe for you to eat because you're the one that put it in there. I really
never thought
wish...
about tapioca. Because I've never been
oh,
a big
yeah.
tapioca fan, so, but, okay.
I just told one of my secrets.
Yes, you did.
Tapioca is used as a thickener. So
mm-hmm.
when you make apple pie, for instance,
mm-hmm.
It may call for a tablespoon or a tablespoon and a half of flour, and that's the thickener. That's going to create that really nice sauce, if you will, in that apple pie.
Right.
I'm not a big fan of that flour taste. It tastes a little weedy to me, you know, wheaty. So to cut that down, I use one half the recommended flour and then the other half in small tapioca. And when you
wow.
take the tapioca and the flour and put it into a pie, everything kind of gels together and you don't know that there's tapioca in there because it's and it works really well. You don't have that flour taste.
Wow. Man,
it's amazing, isn't it?
And we've only just done over a little over a half hour. You've given us so much. So we're going to come back. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on at the garden. So
I'm going to go get a drink of water. I'll be right back.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. We're here with Robert Bowden of Harry P. Lou Gardens here in Central Florida. Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. And we will be right back.
Swiffer Sweeper cleans so completely, you'll never go back to your old broom again.
Now a song for Mary from a Mr. Broom.
New Swiffer Sweepers redesigned to clean corners, and it traps and locks 50% more dirt, dust, and hair than a broom. So go all the way clean. New Swiffer. Clean better or your money back. Guaranteed.
Wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event.
need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar, or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast, let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
Good Friday afternoon, and welcome back to G's Power Hour. I've never had it so good entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. I am here with Robert Bowden, who is the Executive Director of Harry P. Lou Gardens here in Central Florida. If you have questions for Robert, the number is 516-387-1944. In the meantime, Robert, what's going on at the garden? I guess Robert's still getting that drink of water. So anyway, I know one of the things that's happening at the gardens, they have the fairy doors. That he says has been bringing a lot of people to the gardens, and that has started, and I think that runs through September. So anyway, if you get a chance to go out there, and, you know, my husband and I go out there, not as often as I'd like, but, you know, just we do get a chance to get out there, usually around the first Friday. But if you get a chance to go out there, you'll, you know, see the different displays and stuff like that. You know, we got our family membership, and, you know, $50 a year is pretty good, especially when you get a chance to take advantage of the movies and some of the classes and other things. So, Robert, you back with us? Did you get your
I am back. Thank you very much for filling up the space there.
Sure. I was just talking about you were talking about the fairy doors are back and at Lou Gardens, and that's been a big draw there. So tell us what those are. Tell us about them.
I'm going to tell you right at the outset that I really don't understand why this is so intriguing and why it brings in so many people, but I have a younger staff, and they told me 4 years ago that this is going to be something we could bring young people into the garden, an affordable thing for grandparents and parents and children to do together. And so we have a staff member who in addition being in charge of our membership program, it was also in Riverdance as a Irish dancer, and also helped build the sets for that same Irish dancing. So he came to me with the idea of creating these fairy doors. And apparently they're pretty darn popular with young people. And so they created, I think there's probably 18 or so fairy doors. And, I mean, the parking lot fills up. People are parking in the overflow because these darn things are so popular with people. I don't understand it, but I'm not going to complain about it. So we have these all throughout the garden. And one of our goals when we have these kinds of events is to get people out into the gardens where they might not ordinarily visit. So, for instance, we have a number of fairy doors that are in the area of the gardens called the South Woods. Well, those are primarily camellias growing and blooming there, but that doesn't happen until January. So we had 8 acres of a 50-acre garden that not a lot of people visited because there just wasn't anything to see. So what happened? These fairy doors showed up in the South Woods, and we've got people growing back there, and they're looking for the doors. So there's 18 or 20, I'm not sure exactly how many doors, but they're small doors that represent a particular fairy and their responsibility, I guess, in the fairy culture. So we have one of our fairies that's a carpenter fairy, and his door includes things like hammers and screwdrivers, and, you know, it's just decorated. Each door is very unique into itself and is the entrance to his or her home, but of course they decorate it to whatever their preference is. So we have butterfly fairies, and we have carpenter fairies and music fairy. It just goes on, and each door is different, and they're scattered throughout the gardens. So we give you a map, and you go out and you look for all the fairies. On the back of that map is a description of the fairy door and who lives there and what they're best known for. So this does a couple things. It brings all different cultures, all different age groups into the garden. It's a great opportunity for getting grandparents and parents and children outside where it's safe. You know, there's 50 acres, so people have the ability to safe distance from people. Most people aren't wearing masks. If you want to, you can, of course. But people are outside getting the fresh air, the sunshine, spending time with each other. And, of course, we're making money by charging them to go into the gardens. And many people, because they enjoyed the gardens, maybe they never saw it before. Many people are buying a membership, which gives people an opportunity to visit the gardens as often as they like for free.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. You pay, I think it's $50 for a family. So there's two adults in the household, and all the children under 18 are considered family. So you can bring the whole family out for free if you buy this $50 pass.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
in addition to that, go ahead.
Do the movies when? No, I was going to say one of the reasons we do it because we do the movies, and you know, every now and then we don't get a chance to go all the time. But I mean, it's been well worth it because it gives us a chance to kind of just wind down and relax.
Right.
You know, we've kind of invested in it. We've got a little wagon, and we got our chairs and stuff like that, and we got our Big Sam's insulated bag, and you know, we just come out, you know, usually either grab a deli sandwich or something and come out there. And I mean, it's just been really nice to get out there and relax. So, and then also to get a chance to see all of the stuff that you've grown out there, because some of the stuff you grow out there is very sizable. I'll just put it that way. So what do you use? I mean, is it, you know, because is it something that you could buy off of one of the big box stores in terms of, you know, feeding the plants or whatever, the fertilizer, or what types of things do you use or rely on? What's your go-to for growing some of the large vegetables that you have?
Well, my parents were incredible gardeners. We had the most beautiful garden in Ohio that you can imagine. Shrubs and beautiful trees and perennials. And my mother's rose garden was second to none. And my father always told me that if you take care of the soil, the plant will take care of itself. And I think people really overlook that. You know, they want a quick fix. They want to put something in the ground, and they want peppers day after tomorrow, or they, and then, oh gosh, you know, maybe I don't have 8 hours of full sun for that tomato plant, but I have four. That should be enough. Well, clearly it's not. The lady called me earlier this week and said she had bugs on her zucchini. Well, if you weren't trying to grow zucchini at the wrong time, you wouldn't be having bugs. So get rid of the zucchini. You're going to get rid of the bugs because this is the wrong time to plant it. So it's important that you plant the right thing at the right time. That's where my vegetable garden book comes into play, because if you look towards the front of the book, it tells you what to plant when in Florida. So if you live in Tallahassee, this is when you need to plant this. And if you live in Central Florida, this is when you plant that. And if you live in Miami, this is when you plant that. So, and then there's varieties in there that tell you specifically what varieties that perform best for us in all of our trials and all of our evaluations. So the question was, what do we use to make our plants so big? Well, mm-hmm. first thing we do is we plant the right plant in the right place at the right time. Mm-hmm. Okay? That's really important. You're not going to grow tomatoes this time of year. You're not going to grow cucumbers, you know? You're not going to grow cucumbers, so don't try. And if you do try, you know, they're going to grow 4 feet tall. They're going to get bugs and disease, and they're going to die. And then you're going to get mad because, well, he said it was easy, you know? Well, it is, but you got to plant the right thing at the right time, you know?
Right.
So, we know our guests snack out there in the garden,
mm-hmm.
we want to make sure everything is perfectly safe for them to eat. So when we grow collard greens that are 48 inches tall and 30 inches wide, people want to know how we do that.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing is we use the collards at the right time of year, just like people. Plants like to eat a little bit often. They don't like one big meal a day. So you'll see gardeners out there, you know, they'll throw a little fertilizer on there and then they walk away. You have to do it a little more often and just a little bit at the time. They like, just like us, we like to snack during the day. We don't have a big lunch and then starve the rest of the day. And plants do the same thing. So if you have, right now we have okra and we have black-eyed peas and we have all this stuff. So every 3 weeks, we give them a little taste of fertilizer. And that's a special organic fertilizer that you can get at all of the stores, mm-hmm. all the garden centers and home improvement stores. It's called Garden Tone. And it comes in a 3-5 pound bag or a 30 pound bag, whatever, depends on how much you need. And you open the bag up, the first thing you notice is that it really stinks. It smells. It smells like chicken manure, you know? And that's in there. So you get a pot full of that and you sprinkle it around the individual plants or down the row, and then you come back in with a hoe or a rake or something, and you work it into the soil a little bit, being careful not to mess with the roots, but you just mix it in with the soil a little bit, and then you water it. The smell disappears immediately, so no one knows that you've fertilized. And if you do that every 3 weeks, those vegetables are going to be very, very happy, because if you fertilize once, seldom, we have really sandy soil here, and you can apply fertilizer, but 3 or 4 weeks later, all of that fertilizer has been washed away because we have the sandy soil. So it just goes right on by all those roots very fast. So you have to constantly replenish that fertilizer in the sandy soil, and you do that every 3 weeks. So it's not a secret. But you have to give plants just a little bit of fertilizer often.
So does any of the time-released type of fertilizer, does that not work for that?
It does. It works great. It's the best kind of fertilizer for the reason I just said, a little bit often. So if you go to the store and you see a bottle of Osmocote, they're little plastic they're about the size of BB pellets, okay? And you know, they're tan, and what you can't see is there's a little amount of fertilizer in there. And when every time you water, that plastic covering is a resin that allows moisture to escape. So whenever you water, it releases a little bit of fertilizer. And gosh darn it, that is exactly the way plants want to have it. You know, we say we're going to fertilize every 3 weeks. Well, what about the other 2 weeks? You know, I don't know. So Osmocote or a Floracan, or there's a, I think Home Depot sells a product called Dynamite. It's a gray, unified, homogeneous pellet fertilizer. Yeah, that is without question the best way to fertilize your plant. The problem is, it's pricey. It's going to be a little expensive. So if one of the reasons why you're growing your own food is to save money, then you probably don't want to use Osmocote because it's pricey. But if you have a couple containers or you have a window box, go ahead and use that time-release fertilizer. It works great. Just know that it says 3 months. You reapply in 3 months. Well, that's fine if you live in Ohio, but we don't. And that's very, very temperature sensitive. So you're going to have to reapply Osmocote here probably every 60 days or so.
Okay.
Maybe less, 45 to 60 days.
Okay. All right, so I guess I wanted to ask what would be the cost of an initial garden investment. But that, I mean, I don't want to necessarily throw people off because that may sound pricey in itself. So, but, I mean, I think once you get everything together, then it kind of pays for itself down the road.
I guess it depends on how you intend to garden.
Right.
If you're gardening in the ground, it doesn't cost you anything. It's free.
Okay.
You just go out there with a hoe, and you scratch the turf and the weeds away, and you get a shovel, and you turn it over, and then you plant some bean seeds, and there you go. So it can cost you zero.
Okay.
And even this time of year when people are growing black-eyed peas, you probably have some dried black-eyed peas on the shelf in the kitchen, right? In the pantry. Just scratch some grass away. Turn it over with the shovel, go into the pantry and grab yourself some black-eyed peas, plant them in the ground about 12 inches apart, and in about 65 days, you're going to be able to eat black-eyed peas out of your garden.
Okay.
Well, that didn't cost you anything.
Yeah, except buying a hoe. That's about it.
What's that?
I said, except for buying a hoe if you don't have one.
Well, a hoe or a rake or something. You've got to get rid of the grass because that's going to compete with your vegetables, and you turn it over so the roots have a nice fluffy soil to grow in, and so that's pretty simple. Now, the least expensive raised bed that you can grow is very inexpensive. So you go to a home improvement store and you go over to the garden section where they have all the bricks and pavers. And you'll see a little block, and it's got vertical spaces on the sides. And so you can take a 2x4 or 2x6, I'm sorry. So it's 2 inches wide, 6 inches tall, and generally about 4 feet long. And you just simply slide that board down into that slot. So you have four blocks, four pieces of wood, and then, so now you have a box, and then you go to the store and you buy potting soil to go into the box, and then you simply plant the seeds. So you can have, you know, when you get all the materials and you put it on the ground and you're ready to build it, you can build a raised bed garden in less than 15 minutes.
Wow. That's cool.
So the potting soil is going to cost you money, and the boards are going to cost you money. So if you want to just grow things like parsley and dill, maybe some thyme and oregano, that is a perfect bed for that because they don't have really deep, big roots. You can grow onions in that as well. So, you know, I put one at my house to grow herbs for my wife, and it took me 15 minutes to build it, and I think it probably cost me under $50 to buy it, brought it home, put it on the ground. And the other thing, you can put that anywhere. You can put it on a driveway. You put it on a sidewalk. You can put it on your patio. You just plop it down, put the wood, all that together, fill it up with soil. Bingo, you got a garden. So maybe for $50 you can start a raised bed that's 4x4. And then you can grow tomatoes in there. You can grow beans. You can grow anything you want. So you dig in the ground, it's free. If you're going to have a raised bed, I think the minimum you could get away with is probably $50. You can also grow in pots. What about growing in pots, big containers? You may have some old clay pots in the backyard. You know, maybe they're 10, 12 inches across and the same deep. You can grow beans in there. You can grow dill and vegetables, and there's lots of stuff. So you don't need a piece of land. And if you're in an apartment and all you have is a terrace, you can grow vegetables and herbs in pots. You don't need land.
Right. Nice family project to get everybody involved with, too.
Absolutely.
Robert,
thank
you so much. Always a pleasure having you back on here. And you know, you're welcome anytime. And like I said, you know, everybody might want to listen again to this one because there's a lot of information. So you have a blessed day.
Thank you for the kind invitation. I'm always glad to talk to you and your listeners.
Thank you. You take care. Hopefully talk to you next month.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Take care. Bye-bye. Thank you all for listening. Have a great weekend. Be well. Be safe. Be blessed. This has been G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. And please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.
He'll make it all right.
Whatever you need,
He'll supply.
Whatever is broken, He can fix it.
He can fix it.
No need to worry.
No need to worry.
He's alive.